We're going to read God's Word now, and we're going to read it from Matthew chapter 6. And if you're a veteran Christian, this is familiar territory to you. We're going to read verses 5 to 15 and focus on the Lord's Prayer, the first part, the address. Our Father who art in heaven, on this Father's name, we're going to think of our Heavenly Father and focus on Him. Not to the exclusion of our human dads. The most important thing that my father taught me was to trust in Jesus Christ and thank the Lord for my dad and coming to faith in Jesus. Now, I should also note, and you've probably heard this before, you're obviously a congregation that wants people who are not familiar with the Bible to understand the Bible. That shows right away, obviously, to me and anybody who visits here that this is true, because when you take out your Bibles and you turn to Matthew, just turn to Matthew, you'll see that in the edition on the New International Version, large print edition that's in your pew Bible intentionally, has an introduction. Has just one page, usually. Now Matthew is just one page. Sometimes it's less than a page. And the introduction there is on page 1495. But this is true of every book of the Bible in this particular version, the New International Version. Not every version edition of the New International Version has this introduction. I know that this congregation, this ministry is important because there on that page is just a little bit about the book of Matthew, what its focus is on, and it's about Jesus, the promised Messiah. It connects the Old Testament promises with the New Testament, starting with the Old Testament genealogy and then the birth of Jesus, fulfilling prophecy of the birth of the Messiah. And then it gives an outline of the contents. Just a little bit. Now, I know the Gospel of Matthew could be organized or outlined maybe differently. But this is a helpful guide, especially to people who don't know the Bible. Who don't know that the Bible is one book made up of a whole bunch of books. And then, when you go to this particular version or edition, you come to an introduction section. And that will help understand the gospel and every book of the Bible that way. Now, by the time we get to Matthew chapter 6, and now I'm just going to give you just a little bit of a prelude, lean into the sermon. Again, for veteran Christians, you probably know all of this. But you get there in the earliest part, the birth of Jesus, well, the genealogy, and showing how Jesus fulfilled, was born into the right tribe, the right promise, family, as our Messiah, as our Savior. And then you get Jesus, his birth, and then those wise men, the Magi coming from afar, showing evangelism is important. People from afar coming to faith in Jesus. And then you get Jesus going down to Egypt because Herod wants to kill him. And Jesus is saved that way, and then he comes back. And then he's raised in there in Nazareth, on the north, in the north part of Israel. And then Jesus is baptized. Now, this is an important piece of the sequence in the Gospel of Matthew, because Jesus is baptized at the end of chapter 3. And again, if you're a veteran Christian, you know this. When Jesus is baptized by his cousin John the Baptist, there as the Son of God, he comes out of the waters, and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove comes down on him. And then that voice from heaven is critical to understand what I'm going to preach about today. And so at the end of chapter 3, a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." That's an important segue into the next part of Matthew, the gospel. The Father identifying Jesus, the Heavenly Father identifying Jesus as His Son, introduces that theological, biblical truth of the Trinity. No doubt about that. But as important, this is a public declaration that Jesus as Messiah has Father in heaven. His Father. The first person of the Trinity. It's a public declaration that is so important that Jesus, the Son of God, has Father and identified His Father that it gets the attention of the devil, Satan. And chapter 4 of Matthew is all about the temptations of Jesus that all start with this reference to God as Father. When Satan says to him, to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. That's the first of three temptations. Every temptation picks up on that truth. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. Indirectly admitting the truth that Jesus is the Son of God, the Father. So that's all about. By the way, this is tangential, but it mainly be a segue into next Sunday morning sermon about temptations of Jesus and how we overcome temptations. Because next Sunday is a one-year anniversary of the declaration that Satan made on the front page of the Holland Sentinel, June 23, 2023. Satan has entered the chat. It had to deal with satanic minister wanting to bring invocation, opening prayer at Ottawa County Commissioners. And there he was interviewed, the minister of Satan, West Michigan Satanic Temper, when he said, we're a growing community of Satanists in the Kent, Ottawa, and Allegan counties. One year ago, it was front page Holland Sentinel. I don't know if you remember that, but on three other occasions, the Satanic Temple and West Michigan Satanic Temple minister was noted, finally leading to giving invocation at Ottawa County Commissioner meeting. If you've already heard about that, then I won't preach on that. But I have preached a sermon saying, Jesus is saying, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevent that. But that's for next week. You can do your research online or in other ways about that. What's happening in our counties is stunning spiritually. In your lifetime, I doubt if you ever had on the front page of a Holland Sentinel Satan declaring, I'm here, I've entered the chat. That's not to frighten you. That's to say that we're at a certain point where the Church of Jesus Christ has to be strong. And I'm not talking about the organized church like Hamilton. I'm talking about you and me as Christians. But we can only be strong when we know God is our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ. And that's today's message. This is all introduction to you. If you're a veteran Christian, you know about chapter 4 and the temptations of Jesus. And then chapter 5, by the way, Jesus says no to all those temptations. Get behind me, Satan. And in chapter 5 then starts the Beatitudes. And then is introduced in the Gospel, for the first time in the Gospels and then in the New Testament, God is called Father. Infrequently, He's addressed as Father in the Old Testament, but it's Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount that He really starts to hit hard and home this phrase, our Father in heaven, your Father in heaven, your Heavenly Father. And so, starting there, in chapter 5, in verse 16, and that's about the light of the world, verse 16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And so we have there introduced, I mean, it's alluded to before, but now specific, your Father in heaven. There are about 10 times, let me count. 7 times before Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, before our text, that phrase, our Father in heaven, or your Father in heaven, or our Heavenly Father is used. Jesus really is hitting hard. And so by the time we get to what we call the Lord's Prayer, or if you're from Roman Catholic background, the Our Father Prayer, and start with our Father in heaven, Jesus has introduced this at various times. We're going to start our reading at verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6 and read through verse 15. Hear God's holy word as it's read. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Thus far the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Well, on this Father's Day, when I and we are going to think about our Father who is in heaven, a natural place to start, especially for new Christians or even non-Christians, if you were to ask them, "Well, just tell us a little bit about what you know about the Bible," what might a non-Christian say? If you wouldn't embarrass them or make them feel uncomfortable. And they would say, and if you were to help them, just ask them some leading questions. You could start with an easy one, and they would know the answer to this. In the Bible, there are 10 commandments. So how many commandments are there in the Bible? And they'd say, "Well, 10, at least 10, 10 commandments. You start there, that's good." Okay. I know. If you were to think of a prayer in the Bible, and if it were called the Lord's Prayer, how might that prayer start? And often people would say something about our Father. They might not know the whole address, "Our Father who art in heaven." Or you could ask them, "Have you heard that prayer or start of a prayer?" And they'd say, yeah, our Father. You might be able to build on that, just gently, and you could ask them a question. What do you think that means when people pray, "Our Father who art in heaven"? You have an idea of what that might mean? And if they say no, because they might be too embarrassed or they don't want to appear to be ignorant of the Bible. You can just gently say, you say that, you know, that's one of the well-known phrases, sentences, or part of a sentence even non-Christians wouldn't be familiar with. Our Father, who art in heaven. And if you were there to talk to them, and you could say, well, one thing Father means, this is not what Matthew in the Lord's Prayer is talking about, but we could start here with them. You could say, one thing that it means, certainly, is that God is Creator, and He made all things. They might not understand that or even agree with it, especially today, with science dominating our thinking and believing and living. But you could go on to say, just briefly, when we pray our Father who art in heaven, we're addressing the one who has made all things. And if you want to, you can go back to Genesis 1 and you can say, you know, the first part of the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God did what? He created the heavens and the earth. When you get to be a minister and a catechism teacher, you can say now to your catechism class, and maybe some of you have done this, I want you to memorize Genesis 1, verse 1. I want you always to remember it, to believe it with all your heart. And I want you to memorize it. I want you to say it in the language that Jesus memorized it and said it in. In the Hebrew, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Always start there. Remember that. And for new Christians, if you want to, again, going back to starting, talking about praying, saying, understanding, our Father who art in heaven, that God is our maker, our creator. He made all things. Especially this is a point of contact for non-Christians. Because you and I have to believe that every person, human being, is made in the image of God. And that the person you're talking to and that you're around right now may not be a Christian, may curse and swear, may use God's name in vain, Jesus Christ in vain, and yet they're still made in the image of God with body and soul. And God cares for non-Christians too. He wants them to know Him as not just Father Creator, but Father, Savior. And you can move gently on. Yes, when Christians pray, when we pray that, our Father certainly is about God as Creator. Now later on, when you meet with them and you talk with them and answer this question, when they ask you, what must I believe in order to be saved? You can start with Jesus. Saying, Jesus is my Savior. What must I do to believe? What must I do to be saved? The Philippian jailer asked. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved, you and your household. Start there. Do you believe that Jesus is your Savior? That's how. And then you move into the second part of praying, our Father who art in heaven. You can only know God as Father, as the one who saved, not just made you, but saved you from your sin, when you believe in Jesus Christ. You could take them to John 14, another gospel, just gently do it if they don't know the Bible. Take them to John 14, verse 6. Whoops, I'm bumping something in. I should not do that. Okay. John 14, verse 6. If this were a small group Bible study, I'm telling you to look it up right now and read it. Whoops. I'll do my best not to do that. John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the who? Father, but by me. And you're sitting there with them, looking at them, loving them. And you're saying, this is the focus of our Father who art in heaven. A lot of people can say that. Non-Christians can say it. People who study the Bible. Graduate students from Japan coming to study at one of the universities at Chicago, talking about the Bible to a Christian out doing a crusade. And they're studying the Bible as great literature, English literature, the King James Version. And that person who was talking to that graduate student could go to this passage and say, it's more than great literature. It points to how you can know God as your Father in Jesus by believing in Him. All kinds of people can study the Bible. But this is there. This is written so that you might believe. Whoops. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing have life in His name. The second thing that our Father who art in heaven means, not just that God has created all things, but He can be and is our Father because of Jesus. And I want to hit this over and over again, because you and I are living in an era when this is being not just challenged, but being demoted or downplayed. We're living at a time when Satan would come and he would say, I can lead you in prayer. I can lead you commissioners. I can lead you. But it's not prayer to our Heavenly Father. In fact, when it comes to Satan, he is called the father of lies by Jesus himself. We live in an era where the Christian church, the person who is a Christian has to be very strong, has to be very courageous, has to live and has to let our light shine so that our Father in heaven is praised. And such a time as this. This is not the time for Christians to be weak. This is a time for us to be strong. And our strength comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the psalmist says. We must never be shy about calling and claiming God as our Father because of Jesus, because He has loved us. And He still wants people to be delivered from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We must never forget that it's the Apostle Paul who persecuted the church, became a Christian and a preacher, who wrote to the Romans. And there in Romans 8, he said, you received the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of sonship, because we have God as Father. And so by the Holy Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. Paul would say the same thing in Galatians, that we call God our Father, and it's all because of Jesus Christ. And so this phrase, this petition, or this address, in what we call the Lord's Prayer, starting, we claim God as our Father because of Jesus. Nothing short of that. And then we have to remember, this is another point in the sermon today, that our Heavenly Father will provide us with everything that we need, with good gifts to live that life. Whoops. I moved around. Let me continue on. He is our Father who provides is the next point in the sermon. It's the next thing that you can say to this non-believer or this person who's interested in hearing what it means to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." He is our Father who provides, because in Matthew 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, there in verse 11, and that's about which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? This is an important point to make for ourselves when we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," and to the person that you might be talking to. When you trust in Jesus Christ as God's only Son, as your Savior, and then you become a child of God, and you call God your Father in heaven, know that he will not only save you from your sins, but he will provide for you. And Matthew 7, verse 11 is one of those texts that shows that. Your Father in heaven will give good gifts to those who ask him. And then you would pause as you talk to this person. You know, asking him to provide means praying to him. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." In fact, in his teaching about the Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says there, the good gift that's given is the Holy Spirit to come in to live inside of you and me so that we can live a powerful Christian life. This is an important thing. No. Truth to say to us as I preach and also to share with others, because people will be afraid. People will be afraid. If I claim Jesus as my Savior, if I become a Christian, what will my family think? What will my husband think, or my wife? Or what will my children think? What will my co-workers think? There are many people in the world who have to deal with that reality. Whether they live in India, or more specifically, as Pastor Rom, who serves now in Maranatha Fellowship Christian Reformed Church down in Farmington, New Mexico. Pastor Rom is in his 40s, and he became a Christian, but he was born into a Hindu family in Nepal, Mount Everest, right by India. And when he became a Christian, his family distanced themselves from him. Price to pay for coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Examples like that, and by the way, thank you for supporting Calvin Theological Seminary, where he was trained to be a minister in the Christian Reformed Church. God is using our denomination too to bring people to saving faith, not just through the ministry of small chapels, but through our denomination as well. He is our Father who provides, even when people may distance themselves from us, and we may pay a price by being a Christian, and some of our friends may not be around us, or may not want to be around us as much. That's why when you talk to these people, when you're around them, gently talking about what it means to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," know that he will provide for you. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, look at the birds of the air. Our Heavenly Father provides for them. How much more valuable are you than the birds of the air? And he will provide. And so, that's another point the main points of the sermon. God is our Father as Creator. God is our Father because of Jesus. And Jesus calls God His Father as well. That's why He taught His people to pray, Our Father. I know my Father fully divine as the first person of the Trinity, and I'm the second. But you can know God as Father because of me when you trust in me. And our Father will provide for you. Later on in the Lord's Prayer, it talks about, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Our Father will provide physically, spiritually, eternally for us. And then finally, when we pray, our Father who art in heaven, remember that our Father uses you and me to witness to others, perhaps talking to them, but certainly by living out the Christian life. Remember that reference to Heavenly Father in the Sermon on the Mount. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. When we pray, our Father who art in heaven, we are saying, fill us with your Spirit so that we can act and do things where people will see you living in us and they will give praise to you. Not to us, but they'll give praise to you. And so that's the sermon for today. A sermon that you've heard on the Lord, the first part of the Lord's Prayer. A sermon that it's a catechism sermon. These truths are found summarized in the Heidelberg Catechism, but they flow from Scripture and they come to us. On this Father's Day, we celebrate our God as our Father, not just as Maker, Creator, but as our Father who loves us in His Son, Jesus, and who gives us all we need so that we can live courageously now, especially now, this day, so that He is praised and His church is built up. Now, this is the word of the Lord, and this is the sermon. You've heard it, but it's not the end. You and I have to live this out now. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank you that you have brought us together on this Father's Day to celebrate you as our Heavenly Father. And Lord, lead us in such a way that we are able to live so that other people would see us, but give you glory, honor, and praise. And it's all because of you, Jesus, dying for our sins. And so now, even as we come to the end of this worship time, may we always know that we come to you in prayer, that you will give us, you will hear us, for we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus. And according to your will and power, you will give us all that we need, not just to believe, but to live out this Christian life. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time of worship, this time of hearing your word read and proclaimed, and now lean and guide us to praise and glorify you. All this we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray, saying together the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.